Good morning. And I'm not Terry Reed, by the way, so I won't be preaching this morning. But I would like to introduce Terry this morning to you. I haven't known Terry for a really long time, and his wife Renee, and they have two daughters, Erica and Laura. And they work with New Tribes Mission, and the same organization as we are with, basically. And Terry and Renee have been working with a tribe of Indians that have lived between Chihuahua and Sonora State, called the Guarajil. And they've been working there for numerous years and learning their language and their culture, and they're in the stage of translating the Word of God into their language right now. And because of lots of fighting that has been going on over the past few years between different drug lords, they've had to leave their post over there, their home amongst the tribal group there in their town, and they have moved here to the Guaymas area, and they've been living here off and on for the past few years, and continuing to do the translation, as some of the tribal folk have also moved to this area over here. So they've been able to continue working in this responsibility of translating the Word of God into their language. And what a work that is. It's just an incredible job that they have in front of them. And we've been able to use Terry in our Bible school here over the past two semesters. He's a wonderful teacher, and we've really grown to love him and Renee very much. And even though we don't see a whole lot of them, but just the fact that they're there and they have an incredible ministry, and like I said, Terry's been able to do some teaching in our Bible school, and he will be teaching this coming week with the pastor's seminar as well. So anyway, Terry, if you want to come up, and thank you for sharing with us this morning and bringing the Word of God, and as the Lord uses you this morning to speak to each one of us, appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Howard.
Lord bless you.
God bless you. Good morning. Yeah, we're kind of like you guys in that we migrate back and forth between here and the cooler weather of Chihuahua. Only problem is we do it all backwards. We're here when it's hot and we leave when it gets nice. It is a real blessing to be here as a family. Renee, why don't you stand up just so they can see you? It really, it is an honor to be here this morning. You know, it's, as Pastor Rich asked me to share this morning, the topic of Orphan Sunday, I thought, wow, what a humbling topic to teach on. Because, you know, I'm not an orphan. I'm clearly not starving. And, you know, I did grow up in a family. We have nine brothers and sisters besides myself. And my dad never did make a good living. In fact, he's elderly now, still working because he could never set aside a retirement. So at times, I think as kids, we felt like we were orphans. And the truth is, we weren't. We had a stable home. And so as I studied this topic and saw how dear and near and dear it was the heart of God, I realized, you know, what a blessing it was that God allowed me to be raised with my parents, with my family. And so this is a humbling topic for me to teach this morning. But this morning we want to stop and let's invite the Lord to come and be with us this morning first. Lord, we thank you so much that you are such a gracious God, Lord, that in this fallen world in which we live, Lord, you have not neglected those that need you most, Lord. You are a loving and a caring God. You are not distant, but you're near to us. Lord, we pray that you would accompany us this morning. Lord, we pray that you would speak this morning through your word, that you would touch our hearts and our lives, Lord. You would point us to you, Lord, that we would see your heart this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you have us here. We thank you for the families that we do have, Lord, for the loved ones that are near to us. And we thank you, Lord, for those that have taken it upon themselves to work with these kids, especially those, Lord, at King's Kids Orphanage. Lord, we thank you for them and their ministry. Lord, we know that it is a calling that you've brought them to, a tough calling at times, Lord. But we thank you for the difference you're making in the lives of people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Okay. You know, growing up in the culture that we do, you know, we live in a world that is very counter to God's kingdom. You know, as I was thinking about this, for instance, when we hear this phrase, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, something inside us often chafes at that idea that there's nothing I can do to save myself, or at least help somehow. God's kingdom, God's plan is very different than my own. And we fight against that sometimes. Let's see, is this going to work? You know, I've noticed, I've preached in a number of different churches, there's always technical glitches. I think pastors do that on purpose. They don't want the new speaker getting too big-headed. Is that right, Rich? There we go. The meek shall inherit the earth. You know, everything in our culture tells us that that's not true. We hear things more like, the strong will rule the weak. How about what we say about nature? That only the strong survive, or the survival of the fittest. But God says, no, it's the meek that shall inherit the earth. How about this one? It is more blessed to give than to receive. How about asking your kids on Christmas morning which they like better? God's ideas, God's kingdom, runs counter to our own. How about this one? Apart from me, you can do nothing. How many of us live life, face our challenges and our struggles, fighting against everything that's standing against us, and finally, when we can't do it, we say, okay, God, now you can help. Now you can help. When God says from the very beginning, without me, you can't do it. So we live in a world that's very counter to God's kingdom. And when we look at things like the meek shall inherit the earth and the strong shall rule the weak and things like that, sometimes people can get trampled underfoot. And who's that one group of people that gets left behind more than any other? You know, as I look through the scriptures, it is so clear that it's the widows and it's the orphans that get left behind the most. And we think, you know, what, anybody hear that? Have you heard that saying this week? God helps those that help themselves. There was the White House press secretary, what's his name, Jay Carey? He said that this week, that the Bible says that God helps those that help themselves. Of course, now we know the Bible does not say that, but it's taught so much that if we help ourselves, God will help us. But the truth is, God helps those who cannot help themselves. Okay, so it's the widows and the orphans who very often are those who are most neglected in society. They're the ones that make up the majority of those that live below the level of poverty. And it's those that are nearest and dearest to the heart of God. Sometimes we get this idea, kind of like the Pharisees used to have, you know, well, we're well-to-do, we're wealthy because God loves us more than other people. But the truth is, God has a very special place for those who are neediest of Him. You know, when I talk about widows and orphans, there are lots of widows and orphans because of death that happens. In fact, just this morning I received an email from my dad about a friend of theirs who's only about 40 years old, about my age, who fell from a tree and was killed. And he left behind a wife and children. And there are lots of widows and orphans because of things like death. But you know what is sad? And it's becoming increasingly problematic. Here we go again. All right. How about this one? Does this one work? Now we got two remotes and neither one works. You want to find out how good I am at improvising? Can we move that slide ahead one?
I'm trying to.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Bob. Okay. Okay. I can give you both of these. You can try. Okay. Well, the next picture, actually, you'll see is it's actually a picture of some guys jumping out of an airplane. And the idea behind this is there are lots of people who are really orphans and widows because dad jumped ship. Because things get hard. Because dad decides he wants another family. Because he can't face the struggles that he's got. And he runs away. And that leaves those that he should be protecting, those that he should be loving the most, it leaves them unprotected. It leaves them without a provider. And it's because of that that there is so much hurting and there is so much suffering. Okay, Bob, how are we doing over there, Bob? Okay. But we can keep moving on ahead here. I did bring some Bible scriptures. I had them up there on a PowerPoint, but we can look through them. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. Ooh. Just dig through our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Psalms first. Because I want this morning, I want to communicate I want us to see how near and dear this sector of society that we call widows and orphans, those that are often most neglected, how much God loves them. Let's go first to Psalm chapter 10. Truth is, I made this PowerPoint, but I always love the sound of people flipping through their Bible when I teach. Psalm chapter 10, verse 14. Thank you, Bob. Kind of interesting, when I come to this church, it seems like everybody I know is named Bob. Okay, I'm going to read verse 14. The psalmist says, "But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless." So the psalmist says that God is the helper of the fatherless. I see pictures coming up over here, but not quite. Okay, let's go to verses 17 and 18, same chapter. "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of earth may oppress no more." So here we get this promise from God that he is going to be the helper. He is going to be the father of the fatherless. So they have this special place in God's heart because they can't do anything to help themselves. Okay, here we go. All right, should I try this? Let's try the other one. Oh, well, there we go. Okay, all right. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Okay, next one, yeah? All right, Psalm 27:10. I like this better. These verses up here, I was reading from the New King James. These verses are actually in the English Standard. I don't know which version you're reading. "For my mother and father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Are we seeing more and more this heart that God has for the orphans and for the widows? God loves these guys. They have a special place. He keeps telling us they have God's ear almost more than anyone else does. Okay. Let's see. Psalm 68:5 says he is the father of the fatherless and the protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Again, this promise from God. He's the father of the fatherless. He is the helper of the widow. God is their special defense for these guys. I would never want to do anything to cross an orphan or widow after doing this study. Next one, please. Psalm 146:9. "The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin." God continues to tell us over and over again. Okay, let's go to the next one. Jeremiah 49:11. Look what God's promise is. "Leave your fatherless children. I will keep them alive. And let your widows trust in me." God over and over keeps saying, He is committing himself to the care of those that cannot care for themselves. Again, we hear so often, God helps those who help themselves, but God says, no, give me those that cannot help themselves, and I will help them. Next one. And Hosea 14:3, he says, "In you, the orphan finds mercy." So God, over and over again, is telling us he has this special love for the orphans. Let's go to the next one. In fact, this is symbolic. God says that he will literally drop the hammer on those that mistreat the widow and the orphan. Let's bring up the next one. It has some. Go ahead and bring them all up there. There's a few verses. Exodus 22:22-24, Deuteronomy 27:19, Proverbs 23:10-11, Isaiah 10:1-3, and others. God says very specifically that I will deal harshly with those who mistreat the widow and the orphan because he loves them, because they have no defender. Anybody here ever been offended at the way anybody else has treated your children? Or husbands, ever been offended at the way someone has talked to your wife? Raise your hand if you've ever been that way. Let me see. God is saying that he not only takes offense when people treat his children and his widows disrespectfully, he says that he will deal with it. God loves these guys in such a special way. Okay, let's go on to the next one. I want to look at a few examples right here of how God did deal in the case of widows and orphans. Here we have the case of Hagar. Hagar, as we all know, was the servant girl of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, Abraham and Sarah, of course, were getting up in years, still had no children. But God kept promising, I will give you a child. You will be the father of many nations. So Abraham and Sarah concoct an idea. Sarah decides, hey, listen, you take Hagar and you have a child with her, and then we'll just look at that child as my child. And so they do that. Well, a few years later, God says to Abraham again, I'm going to give you a child. In fact, Abraham says, well, why don't you just use Ishmael to make me the father of many nations? And God says, no, I have a plan. I will do this thing my way. Sarah will give you a child. So then Sarah, at the age of 100, Abraham finally receives that son of promise, Isaac. Sarah is now 90 years old. And a few years later, Isaac is weaned, they decide to have a celebration, which was a common thing they did then. You know, it's kind of like this child is going now from his infancy to his boyhood. This was the marker. They had a party. And at that party, Hagar and Ishmael begin to mock this child, Isaac. As I said, you know, lots of people raise their hands saying that how offended they have been at the way others have mistreated their children. Now, Abraham has a responsibility to Hagar and to Ishmael because he has fathered a child with Hagar. He has a responsibility to that child. But Sarah says, I want her out of my house, her and that boy. I don't ever want to see him again. I want them out. Of course, Abraham is in a quandary now because he loves his son. And God says, yeah, you better listen to your wife and send them away. I have a plan. So Hagar, and the next morning, Hagar and Ishmael are sent away with a loaf of bread and a skin filled with water and just sent to the desert. He doesn't say, hey, you know, I'll give you a ride somewhere and drop you off. He just says, get out the door. So as they're going along, they run out of water, they run out of food, and then they're in the desert. And it's hot. And Ishmael is actually at the point of death. Let's go ahead and bring up the verses here. Oh, here we go again. All right, well, let's turn. Well, Bob's over here working. That's the problem with the pastor's plan here, tricking us. Poor Bob's got to suffer for it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 21. This is where we'll pick up the story. So at this point, Ishmael is at the point of death. In fact, Hagar is so convinced that he's going to die, it says she walks a bow shot away from him so as not to watch him die. Oh, there we go. Okay, so let's pick it up in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 21. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not. For God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. Hagar is the first example we see of a woman and her child who were abandoned. Now, they're not without fault in this story. But the truth is that God loved them and God took care of them. God gave them a special visitation to say, like, look, I'm here and I'm going to take care of you. It says he was with the boy. Remember, he says that he is the father of the fatherless and the helper of the widow. And here he has proved it. Let's go to the next slide. The next one is in 1 Kings, if you want to turn there. This is a story of Elijah. Now, if you remember, Ahab and Jezebel were a wicked king and queen. And under their reign, Israel had turned to incredible sin, returned to idolatry. So Elijah prays to God and asks God to close the heavens. And it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. At this time, God had sent Elijah to live by the brook at Kidron. And there at Kidron, it says that the birds, the ravens, would bring him meat to eat and bread to eat twice a day. And he lived by the brook where he could drink water. But after such a long drought, even the brook where he lived was drying up. So God tells Elijah, in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, he says, look, I want you to go to Zarephath. And there in Zarephath, there's a widow. And that widow is going to feed you. So let's pick up the story right here. Let me go to verse 8. I'm going to start reading. I'll read it right here out of the New King James. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. You see how desperate her situation is? She's a widow woman. She has no man to take care of her, no man to help her in any way. She's down to her last meal. And here comes this man of God saying, hey, before you eat, would you give me something to eat too? And she says, no, because we're going to eat this, and after we eat it, we're going to starve to death. That's her situation. But God doesn't leave it there. Look what he says in verse 13. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So God found this woman, again, who could not help herself. She could not help her son. And God defended her. God provided for her. He protected her. He did all those things that a husband should do for her, didn't he? He was a father to her son. He blessed and protected her. In fact, we see later on in this story that her son dies and God, in his mercy, revives that son. Okay, you can jump into the next one. Elisha and the widow's oil. We won't take the time to read that story this morning. I don't want to run over too long. But this is another amazing story in 2 Kings when the prophet Elijah is approached by a woman who says, look, my husband's dead. My husband left us with a debt. And now the debt collector is coming. He's going to take my sons to be slaves. And I have no way to pay my debt. So Elijah said, listen, go to all your neighbor's house. Go to everybody. Get all the empty containers you can find. Take that oil that you have, that one jar of oil, and start filling up the containers. He said, and don't get just a few containers. Get lots of them. And she starts filling it up and filling it up and filling it up. And finally she says, hey, give me one more. And her son says, well, I'm all out. No more containers. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went back to Elijah and said, we filled all these jars with oil, just like you said. He said, now go sell that oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. God is continually blessing these people who absolutely cannot help themselves. He did it again in Jesus' time. Jesus came across, he was on his way to the city of Nain, and on his way there came across a funeral procession. A woman, her son had just died, and she was a widow, and she had nothing left. Jesus walked over to the casket, said to the young man, arise. Why? Because God has tremendous mercy, tremendous grace for these people that can do nothing for themselves. God loves these guys. God loves those that are orphans. God loves those that are widows. They have his ear in a way that no other group of people has it. So it's good that God loves these guys. But you know, God, it's not just them that are called to love these people. Bob, can you bring up the next slide for me? James 1:27. Let's read the words of James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, when he says to visit them, it doesn't mean let's go hang out in their shack and talk for a while. Let's go drink their coffee and eat their bread. That's not what he means. This idea of visit means meet them where their need is, relieve their need, take care of them, provide for them. This is something that God has given to the church to do. And we see that action in Acts chapter 6 when the first deacons are appointed because the church is caring for all these widows and orphans and they need help administrating. Okay, let's go to the next one. What else does God say? 1 John 3:17 and 18. Listen to these words. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? The answer is it doesn't. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So God loves these guys and he has done amazing miracles to provide for widows and orphans because he loves them. But now he has his people in the world. He has us, the church. And he has us, the church, and he desires that we have the same compassion for these people that he has. The thing that moves the heart of God is to see those who can't help themselves, and God is moved to action. And that's what he desires from us. That's what he wants to see from us, that we, as his people, be moved by the things that move him. Anybody here? Let me just ask. Oh, you know, well, let me, before I say that. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, that's when we really see the birth of what we call the nuclear family. God had just created Adam and Eve. He tells them in verse 28 to multiply, to reproduce and fill the earth. That's where we see the beginning of the family. At the end of that chapter, we see that God saw what he had made and that it was very good. The family is a good thing. Even today, though things don't function like they always should, family is a good thing because there is protection there. There is needs met there. But as we know in Genesis chapter 3, something went terribly wrong. And as a result of what went wrong, anybody here, just curious, anybody know what the current statistic is on the number of orphans in the world today? I read it in a few different places, so I think it's probably accurate. 143 million orphans in the world. To put that in perspective, the country of Mexico's population is about 112 million. So we take the entire population of Mexico and add 30 million people to it, and we have the number of orphans that are in the world today. Just since 2006, since Mexico began its war with the cartels, some websites say that as many as 60,000 children have been orphaned as a result of that war. Death and war and infidelity and fathers that are just deadbeats have caused this problem to grow tremendously. And God has us as his people there to help, to provide, to meet the needs of these kids. So something went wrong, and though we live in a fallen world and these things exist, God does have ways to meet the needs of those nearest and dearest to his heart. Let me ask, is there anybody here who has never faced hardship in life? Let me ask you this. Raise your hand. Has anybody here ever gone through a situation, a difficult situation, and at the end said, I would never wish that on anyone, but I would never trade the experience for anything? Anybody been through there? I've been there. Lots of heads nodding. Do you know that those hardships, those experiences are not just for our own good? They're not just for us. Bob, could you bring up the next slide for me? This is what I want to end with. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, God meets us in our difficult circumstances. And he provides for us, not just because he loves us, but because he wants to use us to help alleviate the afflictions of other people. And so we have that opportunity. We thank the Lord for organizations. We thank the Lord for people like Jenny and Jesse and the staff at King's Kids, those who have invested their life, because it's not a 9-to-5 job. And it's not a job with clearly defined parameters. It's a tough call that the Lord's brought them to, but it's not just their job. It's not just their ministry. This is for the church to do. This is something that God has called us to do. And so this morning we want to remember those children, those widows, those that cannot help themselves. And as a church, God wants to use us to alleviate some of their needs. I'm going to close with that. I'm going to close in prayer. And then I'll turn it over to what comes next. I appreciate your patience this morning. It is a blessing to be here. It has been a privilege. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you that as we study your word, Lord, we are confronted by the things that touch your heart the most. Lord, we think of those 143 million orphans around the world, Lord. Those who are missing parents, those who have been abandoned. Lord, those who are defenseless, who cannot help themselves. Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts by those things that move you. That we would be moved by them, Lord. That as we see the needs around us, Lord, that we would not close up our hearts. That, Lord, that we would take of the abundance that you have given to us, Lord, and we would meet needs of those around us. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we were all slaves of sin. We were all without hope. But, Lord, you met us in our misery, Lord, and you saved us. And, Lord, you've met us in the afflictions we have faced in life. Lord, cause us to remember the afflictions that you've brought us through, Lord. And may that move us to compassion for those that we see suffering around us. We thank you. And Lord, we want to lift up your name this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.